While everyone's talking about AI replacing people, smart companies know the real opportunity is using AI to make their people better. Lattice is the HR platform where people and AI succeed together, helping every employee grow, every manager lead, and every company achieve greater success. Let's build a people-powered future. No regrets. Visit lattice.com/no regrets. That's LATTICE.com/no regrets.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to another episode of Messy & Co. I am Ashley, here, as always, with my incredible co-host, Gian. Gian, happy Wednesday. How are you, my friend?
Happy Wednesday. I'm doing great. Lots to talk about Inter Miami. A lot of things that probably we've got some strong opinions on, I think, what we've seen as of late with Messi coming back and all that stuff. So it's exciting to get into it and talk about it. I feel like anytime there's an episode up and it's time to talk about Inter, I'm always happy. So I'm happy to be here.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up, because there was a lot of, like, last week was such a crazy week in terms of games and news and stuff. We did our preview for the Atlanta game, and then the Atlanta game happened, and then the New York City FC game happened during the weekend at 2 p.m. on Saturday. And we had a previous engagement, so we couldn't record for it, but we're going to talk about it now. We're going to talk about both games now, and then we're going to preview Saturday's game against Charlotte. Like we said, the games are coming thick and fast. We're doing as much episodes as we can. We always, of course, want to make sure we're at least live tweeting and making the social there. We will both be at the game on Saturday, so that there will be more content to come. But let's start with what you said, Gian. And do you have anything you'd like to say to the people? Because I think the last time they saw us, it was for the preview for the Atlanta game midweek. And I can't remember exactly what you said, but I think you said something like you had a strong opinion about it.
I mean, look, I did have a strong opinion. I obviously thought it was just going to be an absolute shellacking, obviously on Inter Miami's behalf, but it didn't work out that way. And I think that there were some things that kind of factored into that. It was definitely not the lineup that I thought was going to make it out onto the field at all. So that definitely had something to play into it. So obviously, also, I thought that we were going to have a full 90 of Messi. I thought that we were going to have the power squad out there and everything, but it didn't work out that way. At the end of the day, I think that after kind of seeing that game, I still thought that Miami should have had enough to come out and really beat Atlanta. I think that, you know, they could have and they should have. And they're the best team right now, whether Messi plays a full 90, whether he plays 0 minutes, whether we're missing players. I understand also that we're missing a lot on the defense, and it's, you know, it's easier said than done. But I still think with the product on the field, they had enough. But at the end of the day, what can you say? They're still at the top of the standings. They still, you know, they didn't lose. They're still on an unbeaten streak. Even though we lost our winning streak, we were actually, I believe we had a winning streak of 5 matches back to back. At least we still have an unbeaten streak. So we haven't lost now with that Atlanta game and with the most recent game, 7 games in a row. So at least that's good. And at the end of the day, everything is still in our hands for us to win the Supporters Shield. So I think that that's important. But a bit disappointed, I will say.
Yeah, if only someone said that it was a midweek trap and that it was probably going to be a closer game than expected. If only someone had been that type of guy.
Hey, this team's unpredictable, though, Ash.
I'm kidding. I know. It's like
sometimes you expect
really
nobody to play. I mean, how many times have we been like, hey, it's a midweek game. Yeah. They're gonna come in and there's gonna be rotation, and it's like the all-star team is out there. And then the opposite, you're like, oh, well, based off of what we saw last time, everybody's gonna play, and like nobody plays.
No,
so
agree.
It's like, But I mean, I think it was good that we had, I guess, varying suggestions. Like, I was like, well, okay, we're going to see everybody. You had the, I think, the more prudent approach, which is like, yeah, midweek game, maybe we don't play everybody, which I think some of the fans were probably happy with too. I think when I was reading through some of, you know, the Twitter feed and that sort of thing, there were a lot of fans like, hey, I hope that, you know, we don't play everybody. I hope we don't play Messi 90 minutes. I hope he doesn't play at all. Like, I just want him to be healthy, especially as we move on into the postseason. And I think at the end of the day, it may be a draw, but it's, you can kind of see it as a win in the sense of we came out with 1 point and we came out healthy or somewhat healthy. So I think that at the end of the day, it was good.
No, I 100% agree. I think, I mean, of the two results, I think me included, at when that game ended last Wednesday, I was like, I was happy, all things considered. I was like, they did heavy rotations, more than even we expected, but they did heavy rotations. This game last year, this game in the beginning of the season, we lose, and we lose by a lot. This time we didn't. We almost won. We almost had a couple opportunities to win. It didn't go our way, but, you know, got a draw out of after, you know, they got an incredible goal off of like an insane long shot. It was a good result, I think. You know, it was still a strong championship side winning result. And yeah, you know, no injuries on the turf.
Some of the changes were forced on us too. They're out of our hands. You know, obviously disciplinary reasons. Yeah.
Yep. Agreed. No, agreed on all of it. I mean, you didn't have Busquets, you didn't have Messi, you didn't have Suarez, you didn't have Alba, you didn't have Aviles. You know, that's still a lot. So yeah, so that was that game. It was a fun game though to watch. I really enjoyed watching it. It was super quick moving, especially towards the end. It was really like back and forth, super fun, great atmosphere. You know, Messi played the last 30 minutes and the atmosphere in the stadium, it was almost full. It was super fun. And it was basically what MLS wants, right? When it's an away game. And I mean, the same could be true, honestly, for Saturday. It did sell out too, but you had what you wanted, which was away games, almost sold out, big venues. That was Mercedes-Benz Stadium, you know, Yankee Stadium, big venues, Messi playing, whether it's 30 minutes, whether it's 90 minutes, but he's playing and he's getting everyone excited, getting everyone interested, good environment, you know, everything you want. So that definitely worked in that sense. However, the New York City game, I think, was more disappointing than the Atlanta game for a couple reasons. One, first of all, that field is so dumb. Okay. and people, if you're going to go after me in the comments, fine. If you know, I understand there's things out of your control. If you're a New York City FC fan, not blaming you for it. It's not your fault. It's just really dumb. It looks like a field meant for like U11s, and everyone looks like a giant on it. And the spacing is bad. And I think it's dangerous because people overrun or underrun passes and you can't space out correctly. When you have a back four, it looks like a back 12 because you take up the whole freaking field. Like, yeah. And the, you know, the pitch being some outfield, some infield, it made the soccer to me much less enjoyable because everyone's playing, you know, trepidatiously. They're not playing at their strongest because they don't know what's going to happen and they're not comfortable. So it wasn't a good game for Messi or Suarez or them. Suarez almost had a banger though, but it wasn't a great game. All things considered, I would still say a bad game for Messi is still a great game for like literally 90% of the other soccer players in the world. You know, the chances didn't really come. The benefits, I would say, Ian Frey is just too good to not be playing every single game. He's just so good. And Yannick Bright, too. They're just so good. Tata needs to find a way to be able to have both of them play at the same time as Messi. Whether that's, in favor of no Toto Aviles, whether that's in favor of no Robert Taylor or, you know, something like that. Yannick Bright and Nocello, like Yannick Bright and Ian Frey have to play in our best 11. They are both integral parts of our best 11, in my opinion. So yeah, it was a disappointing game. We thought we had the win. New York City gets a goal in the very last second. It wasn't a well-officiated game. It wasn't an enjoyable game. It wasn't good energy. All of those things are true. But like I said, what last year would have been two big losses or two draws this year. And we're still destiny's in our own hands in terms of getting the supporter shield, getting first place in the East, and potentially breaking the New England Revolution record for most points in a season.
Yeah, I got to agree with you. I don't think it's easy to play on that field. I think other teams may struggle as well. You know, it's, I guess it's home field advantage in a strange sort of way. Home field advantage for other teams is, you know, maybe like altitude and playing somewhere like in Colorado or like teams in South America that play like in Bolivia. So I guess this is a weird sort of way to have some sort of advantage for them, because whereas they also have to play on that type of field, they're more used to it. They have more games at home, obviously, but it is much more difficult, I think, to play on that field. You have to be much faster on the ball. You don't have the opportunities to run as much. You've got to touch quickly. You have to be more stop short. It's like you take two steps and you're already right outside, like ready to shoot, and you're in the final third with like after taking two or three steps from half field. Like, so there's things that they have to do to adjust, and maybe Inter Miami didn't do a good job of adjusting. As
Messi feels like he was like 6'4", like a midfielder on that field.
No, yeah, exactly. I play today at 8 p.m. I play 6v6, and I think the field I play on is actually bigger than Yankee Stadium. So it's strange, but at the same time, that's also no excuse, because we've seen other teams go into Yankee Stadium and put on a good performance. Teams that are nowhere near as good as Inter Miami, Philadelphia, went into Yankee Stadium on Wednesday, I think it was, or about a week ago, and they beat New York City 5-1, and they're a team that's ninth place in the Eastern Conference right now. So I don't think that's an excuse either. While it is a factor, you know, I think that they should have done a better job. Now, granted, they were also missing, Inter Miami was missing some players that they typically count on. They didn't play with Diego Gomez, who Diego Gomez is, as we've seen, probably a top 3 to 4 player, or 5, however you want to see it, because that just shows really how good this team is. If you're if he's a top 5 and not a top 2, on many other teams he'd be a top 2 player on the team. So Diego Gomez is a big part of that team that, you know, unfortunately he wasn't able to play. I think that also that played a lineup that at some time
no Sergio Busquets,
so he was forced to play a lineup that typically hasn't worked, where he's playing with like 3 center backs, but at times he's made it work, but with the right personnel, which in this case he didn't have the right personnel to make it work. Also, and this is, will kind of foreshadow what we're going to talk about a bit later, but Inter Miami, 2 games in into Messi's return, is still trying to figure out how to play with Messi, and you're plugging in Messi into a lineup that isn't a good into a formation that isn't conducive to what you've seen the most success with him when he's played on the team previously, when he's had most of his games and we've been rolling. Gressel also, you're trying to figure out Gressel's role now. Gressel at the beginning was somebody that had a lot of criticisms while he played in his role in the midfield. You slotted him up to right wing when Messi wasn't playing. He became look like all-star caliber. The guy was just playing out of this world, and now you plug him in into a midfield. I think there's a lot of things that are happening over these last 2 games. And then again, you just throw that into, they're playing away from home in a strange field. There are a lot of contributing factors. Rest,
3 games in a week. Yeah,
exactly. So I still think they should have won, but I can understand why the team didn't look as good as we've come to expect from them.
Agreed. 100% agreed. I think, I think that that week, those 3 games were basically 3 completely intense different scenarios that Tata needed to work his way through. And Wednesday, he didn't even coach. He coached, obviously, but he couldn't be on the sideline. So I think
they were 30 seconds away from winning, though, also. So like,
seconds away from winning, yeah.
It is a lapse in concentration. When you have a game locked in with 30 seconds left to play, or whatever it was, a minute or 30 seconds left to play, and you concede a goal in the 95th minute, that's also like,
yeah, that's not a messy problem or right. Like, that's like agreed. And I would say, you know, these games moving forward, these next like 2 to 3 games, I think we'll see what is, you know, injury or yellow card suspension. If those are out of the equation, you're going to see the best 11 every single game.
Yeah. And I'm surprised you haven't mentioned anything about your boy.
Which boy?
you know, Mr. Campana.
Ring a bell? Oh my God.
Oh, you see what I did there? Ring a bell?
So true. You know what? He's a good looking man, but that's not what you're asking me.
No, no. He scored.
And I almost won the game for us. Playing at the same time, actually, towards the end.
And he became, if I'm not mistaken, the scoring leader for Inter Miami and Inter Miami history.
Scoring leader, and he got another goal to keep himself at that. I mean, yeah. Messi will probably take it over soon, but he is, and he deserves. You know, Campana's been there through the ups and the downs of these last 2 years, and is, you know, I'd say he's not currently, you know, really reaching his full potential, and that's, you know, whether that's just because, you know, when you have one of the greatest number nines of all time playing for your team, it's going to cause you to sacrifice whether you want to or not. But hopefully 2 goals in 2 games gets him some more confidence, and Tata feels comfortable using both him and Suarez in the latter halves of games together, you know, not only having one at a time, because they both played together in the New York City game, and I actually loved it. I thought it was great play, and I'd be really happy if we saw that at the end of some games when needed. But yeah, so like I said, you know, I think moving forward, starting Saturday, you're going to see the best possible 11, and that's what he's going to continue to do. I think there's not going to be really much more rotation in terms of the starting lineups, but we'll see. You never know. That's my thought. And why is that important? Well, because, you know, I think we feel pretty comfortable that we're going to get the supporter shield unless we go, you know, 0-12, which I would be very difficult. But we've put ourselves in a position where we feel that we are going to get the supporter shield. The other sort of record that's up for grabs that I think is interesting is MLS points, which is 73, made by New England Revolution a few years ago. How many points do we have right now?
Right now we have 64.
64 points. And how many matches left?
4.
Right. So we need 9 points out of 12.
Yeah.
And so I think we can do it. I think Saturday will be a really, really big indicator on if it's the priority or not, to be completely honest, because we're going to see, like I said, is this going to be our best 11? Is this going to be everyone turned up? Is this Messi fully back to being, you know, integrated in the squad? He's gotten 2 90-minute games and a 30-minute game. He's been with the team playing and training for over 2.5 weeks at this point now. Tata knows what's working, what didn't work, what's the plan going to be. I think that's what we're going to see. And so depending on how the match goes, I think it's very, very possible that we are going to be able to break the record. And I think that it'll be a really fun way to see the season end, because it's been a crazy season. I mean, 3 of the 4 games, in my opinion, we should absolutely win, which is this Saturday against Charlotte, next Saturday against Toronto, and then the last game, decision day, against New England, which would be pretty poetic, because it would be against them potentially to get that win. The only game that I think is you know, scary is next Wednesday away at Columbus. That's going to be a difficult game, a winnable game, but a difficult game. So 3 of these 4 games, we should be able to get the 9 points for, hopefully maybe even more.
Yeah, I think that right now for me, when I'm thinking about breaking the MLS record, for me, it's more of a nice to have than a need to have.
Right.
I think that right now, when you're looking at MLS record, you need 9 of 12 points. To me, the more important thing is you need 8 of 12 points to secure the supporter shield. So I think that they're looking at 8. If they get those 8 within the next 4 games, they lock in supporter shield. And if they lock in supporter shield, there's a big, big chance that gets them into the 2025 Club World Cup, which is right now, I think, their number one priority. Obviously, they want the league.
And home field advantage.
And home field advantage and playoffs. But supporter shield, what comes with winning that supporter shield, again, is a very high chance of the 2025 Club World Cup being in your hands here in the U.S. So I think that that's a huge part of it. Breaking MLS record, I think, would be awesome for the record books. I don't know if another team is going to break that record anytime soon. If Inter Miami doesn't do it, I think this is the best squad and the best chance that Inter Miami is going to have to ever kind of hold that record. And I think players, you know, players will, when they're asked about those things, they'll say, yeah, that's secondary. Yeah, we don't really think about it. But at the end of the day, I think it's something to relish in. Yeah. They like it. They like being a part of history, being able to say, I had something to do with that record being in there. And I think it'll be a record, if broken, that will be on for a long time. So I really would like to have that MLS record, but I'm looking at 8 points right now over 9, because man, do I want that supporter shield. Man, do we want that supporter shield. That's just going to be exciting. So yeah, Inter Miami has a great chance at doing it. To what you said previously, out of those 4 games that are left, Columbus is the most difficult one. Make sure you get all of those points, and then we'll see what happens with Columbus. If you can lock in those, win 3 out of the 4, which again, on paper, you should very much. Not only do you get your supporter shield, you break the MLS record, and the Columbus one, whatever happens there is the cherry on top. You try to win it, and you're golden. Inter Miami's on record pace, and they're looking good heading into the playoffs.
Agreed. Yeah, and I mean, also, it's such a testament to the organization, which, from us included, has gotten a lot of slack. You know, it's funny how just as how people work and like our constant moving of goalposts, because we've criticized the organization and the team a lot in the last year and a half since getting Messi, which is crazy to say, but it's true, because you know there are a lot of things we can think of that we think they could have handled better. But at the end of the day, we still got Lionel Messi, right? We got the greatest player to ever play soccer come play for our club for 3 years, maybe even more, who knows. Which is a feat in itself. We got Jordi Alba, we got Sergio Busquets, and we got Luis Suarez to do it. What would be so incredible and such a testament to the coaching and the roster management of Chris Henderson and Tata Martino is that this record is going to happen not because of Messi. Messi would be a huge part of it, no doubt. No doubt. The way, you know, he's played in enough games, he's added, but the record is only broken because of the way.
Get your exterior painting to-dos done easily with Dutch Boy Pristine Exterior Paint. With its rain rinse technology, rain naturally washes away dirt and grime. Plus, it resists cracking and peeling, making it perfect to withstand the harshest weather conditions. Save big money on Pristine Exterior Paint and start your painting project today. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for more great deals happening this week.
This whole team has come together and become this incredible unit and this incredible force, and just winning, whether Messi is out injured, whether Messi and Suarez are at Copa America, it doesn't matter what it was, they found a way. And that's pretty amazing.
Yeah, I think that there's a lot of storylines that can go this season for Inter Miami. The storyline of, hey, this team started off at the beginning of the season very reliant on Messi, and heavily criticized that anytime Messi didn't play, they wouldn't play well. And heavily criticized that if it wasn't for Messi and Suarez's heroics at the end of games, they wouldn't win, where they have a goal in the 90th minute, in the 91st minute, in the 88th minute, that was not a team goal. Maybe it was an individual goal that Messi pulled out of nowhere, that there was a brilliant goal by Suarez that you didn't expect to happen. You're like, where the heck did he pull that out of? I think that that's one of the storylines. The other storyline was Messi, this team is going to struggle without Messi because of how reliant they were on him. He goes out for an extended period of time, first because of Copa America. Then he gets injured in the final of Copa America. So they end up playing, I don't know the exact number now, but over 10 games without him, where you were only expecting maybe 7 or 8. And the team actually looked better than they did all season. And it's not because of the lack of being without Messi. It's because everyone sometimes knows. There's, in the midst of difficult times, there are moments of learning, there are moments of getting better, there are moments of strengthening. And I think somehow, when we try to look at the glass half full, you look at this time without Messi as a sort of like a hidden blessing, because this team actually became better. This team learned how to play together. They learned how to not rely on one player. They relied on each other. They trusted each other more. They learned to play a more complete game. And how does that end up working to our benefit? Now Messi comes in to a more complete team, a team that doesn't need him to win, a team that becomes better with him. I think those are two different things. Again, a team that no longer needs him to win, but a team that will become so much better with him on the pitch. And I think if I'm Messi, I like that better than what I walked into at the beginning of the season, because I no longer have to put the team on my back. I don't no longer have the pressure of making sure I have to get everything done. I have to score the goals. I have to put all the passes. I have to encourage the team. He does that, but it's no longer necessary because this team can pass. This team can score without him. And lastly, the other storyline is where there have been a lot of talks, is Messi the MVP? There's varying, I think, there's varying opinions on that. But one guy who for sure to me has had a crazy impact, especially in the midst of no Messi, is Suarez. That is to me another storyline that maybe isn't talked about as much. Suarez with no Messi has continued to put on an optimal performance, has continued to score, and has continued to be a huge factor as to why this team has been as good as they have. And they've now, with Messi missing so much time, are 8 points away from scoring the Supporters' Shield. So to me, this season, it's like you've lived 10 seasons all within one season that's not even done yet. It's just it's an insane ride to be on.
100%. Yeah, it'll be really exciting. So this Saturday will be sort of the first indicator on do we think we're going to be able to achieve all of those records and goals, or how the season's going to end. So Let's talk about it. Tale of the tape, Inter Miami versus Charlotte FC this Saturday, back home at Chase Stadium. I almost said Drive to Pink. At Chase Stadium in Fort Lauderdale, South Florida. Hopefully we'll have the whole squad back, or everyone who's able to play, because obviously we didn't have Busquets those last two games. Against Charlotte, who are sixth right now in the East, so they've been playing well. They're having a good season. They're still obviously one of the newer teams, but a really important match where I think Inter Miami needs to reassert their dominance and not only come away with a win, but come away with a win where everyone's looking good.
Yeah. I think that it's good for us to finally be back home. I think for us also, it's just recuperating players that we're missing, and now we're going to be able to count on them, and this team is going to look much better. If we look, Inter Miami had training this morning, so we were able to see some of these guys making their way back onto the pitch. Diego Gomez is back in training, so that's always exciting and good. Again, one of our top players. Matias Rojas also back in training, a guy that's missed some time, somebody that you can depend on, somebody that has the ability to, I think, it just add another dynamic to this team where maybe you don't have a lot of players on this team that shoot from outside the area. He's a guy that you've seen has scored some absolute freaking firecrackers from outside. Like, he's a guy that you can depend on. And I think that I would expect to see some playing time this Saturday, if possible. So we'll see that. Messi obviously is training, which is a good thing. He's sometimes, you know, if you'll get a knock or something, he may miss a training. So to see him training 3 days before the game is a really good sign. And then we'll see what he looks like when they train. I believe they'll probably train on Friday, so before the game. But that's really good to know. We'll be able to count on a more complete team. Busquets should be back as well. So I think that we'll look a lot better than we did this last game. And then we're going up against a Charlotte team that's currently in sixth place. They're not the best away team. They've only won 4 out of their 15 games away. So I think that having that home field advantage is going to play very big against this Charlotte team. And then just even like kind of looking at their last few games, they haven't won many. I mean, I'm looking at their last few games. They lost, they won their previous game against New England, but before that, they lost 2-0 to Orlando. Then they beat Charlotte 2-1, but they lost 1-0 to Atlanta. So, and then they tied against Red Bull. So they've only won, it looks like, 2 out of their last 5 games, whereas Inter Miami has looked like a lot stronger. Miami is just a different animal playing at home. Miami is 10-2-3 at home. They don't tend to lose very much. If they lose, I think it's out of extenuating circumstances where they're missing players or that sort of thing. When they're a complete team, when they're healthy, there aren't many teams that can come into Chase Stadium and I guess put it on Miami and come out with a win. So I'm fairly confident. But as always, whether I'm confident or not, I never know what the heck is going to happen because every game is just crazy with Inter Miami. So I could be very confident and we could very well just get some, well, let me not go down that path. But I think that...
yeah, don't change too much.
Yeah, but I think that Inter Miami on paper should get the job done. What the score is, I don't know. Maybe we'll get into that in our predictions. But I'm fairly confident with Messi, with Suarez, with Busquets back, with Gomez back, and with that defense looking a lot more like the defense that we've come to know. I think that we'll be ready to win this game. And then if we win this game, hey, that means only 5 more points to get the supporter shield. So it's definitely a very important game, especially when you only have 4 more games left in the season.
I think you said it in a great way. I agree. We should win, and we should win handily. But towards the end of the season, you know, it's every game is difficult, and people are going for seeding there, and they don't want to be a part of a team that loses to a record-breaking team. You know, there's a lot of things in the air. 2 draws in a row. Inter Miami need to bounce back and make it a good one. So how do we?
I will say one thing, Ash, before we actually into our predictions. This kind of has to do with our predictions. One thing I noticed, I think, over the last 2 games where Inter Miami has tied, and I'd like to see them kind of change going into this game against Charlotte, mm-hmm. is with the defense. I know that the defense has looked differently as far as personnel wise, but one of the things I think that we've noticed very much with this defense and they've struggled with is something that they had fixed, and then it looks like it's come back where they're just not getting back on defense properly. And the defense sometimes is getting the opponent's forwards are winning the back of our center backs. And a lot of times we're struggling with long balls or good or filtered passes in behind our center backs. I think our center backs just need to be a bit more on top of their game, make sure that their positioning is better so that they don't allow the spaces in behind them for the runs, because that's been kind of dangerous, I think, for us. So as long as we can take care of that against Charlotte, I think we'll definitely be in a lot better place, and we won't have to have these scary moments that we get where we've been lucky where we haven't conceded more goals, I think. So I think that'll be important going into play against Charlotte.
I think so too. I think it has been kind of like a mixture of just, you know, injuries and yellow cards and avoidable things that have created issues with the defense. I'm hoping we continue to shore that up. Tomas Aviles, who, surprise, surprise, got another yellow card over the weekend for something that was so unbelievably ridiculous. He basically asked for a yellow card. He was like 100 yards away from it and is like, wait, you forgot me. So it's just like, ugh. But he will play Saturday because I think it's every 2 yellow cards you get a game suspension now. But yeah, he's got to work on the discipline because we want to have the consistency. If you ask me, I would probably rather have Chelo on the right and Ian Frey as his right center back, because that's how much belief I have in Ian Frey and as little belief I have currently in Tomas Aviles, not from a talent standpoint, but from a discipline standpoint where he's going to put our team in at risk. I don't think that's going to happen in terms of the fact that I imagine Tomas Aviles is going to play. I think Noah Allen, and I haven't seen any updates. I know he had come off with a little bit of an ankle knock at the end of the New York City game. I don't know where that is in terms of his recovery. I'm hoping he's good to go because I thought he did a hell of a job as the left center back in the game against Saturday. And when he had to come in last Wednesday, he did an amazing job too until, you know, his concussion. So I am just...
We're also waiting on Martinez, which we still haven't had word from. We know he has a right adductor strain.
I think they're probably going to save him for the playoff. Like, you know, that one I don't see them rushing back with. And I thought Noah Allen has played really well recently when he's been asked to play that left center back role. So I'd be fine with him. And then Jordi Alba obviously back. I think, look, there's definitely – in my opinion, you're like, who should be starting? Like, I think the front three should be Gomez, Suarez, and Messi, right? Like, everyone thinks that pretty much. And depending on how fit Gomez is, whether he starts or comes off the bench, I don't know. Maybe it's Matias Rojas, you know, maybe it's neither. I still, though, And it's really not fair because Julian Gressel has done nothing wrong, in my opinion. He really hasn't. And he works so hard and he's played so much. But Yannick Bright is better for this team to play when Messi and Suarez are both playing, because Messi and Suarez can create all you need in terms of offense. What we need is to have two firm transitional players in the midfield who can play that defensive role and break up play and like stop counterattacks and things like that. Cause you know, Messi and Suarez aren't going to run back at the same level for counters and for change in play. And so you need to have someone next to Busquets who specializes in doing that so that Messi and Suarez don't have to, you know, aren't going to make up the space. And like, let me just give a news flash to everyone. Messi and Suarez are going to play. There's no question. Messi is going to start and play every single game, as he should. So is Luis Suarez. So knowing that, how do you adjust everything else? Because you need to adjust everything else. And so if it's at the cost of Diego Gomez, which I don't think it should be, but if it's at the cost of that for being able to play Yannick Bright, or if it's at the cost of Julian Gressel to play Yannick Bright, or whatever it is, something's gonna have to give, because in order to be able to counter the counterattack of other teams, knowing your two front players are not going to be able to track back at the same pace, you need to have Yannick Bright play. And it's just a question of for who.
Yeah, I'm going to pretend you didn't say at the cost of Diego Gomez. I'm going to pretend I only heard at the cost of Gressel.
I don't think it should be at the cost of Diego Gomez, but I'm just saying it has to be at the cost of somebody.
Yeah, well, and I mean, we haven't
to be at the cost of Julian Gressel.
I think that, look, as far as the front three, originally what you said, I think obviously that's the best that we're going to see up front is Suarez, Messi, and Gomez. I don't think that there's any shot if Gomez is healthy. Other than wanting to make sure he doesn't get injured for some reason, he's a absolute starter. Yeah, there's nobody that's going to take him out. You don't take out a guy that plays that well and is going to play for Brighton in a few months. So I think that Gressel looks like the odd man out.
And Redondo is also undroppable. He's been playing fantastic.
Well, I would probably differ on you with that. For me, I don't know. I'm not convinced with Redondo anymore. I was more convinced before.
Really?
I feel like he's had a drop in his game. I don't think that he's done as well as the first time he stepped on the pitch in those first few games. I think I expect more from him. I don't think he's played bad. I just don't think he's been that good. As far as Gressel, that's something that's not really his fault. I think that he's looked best, as we said previously, at the right wing, but that's Messi's role. So if anybody's going to get sacrificed, to me, it's probably going to be Gressel. If you're going to somehow play, if you're going to play Busquets along with, I had a mental lapse right now. With who are we talking about again?
Redondo or Bright?
Bright, sorry, with Bright. If you're going to play those two, then I think it's at the cost of Gressel, at his expense, unfortunately, not because he doesn't deserve to be there, but it's just, but at the same time, I don't know if we're going to see that. While I would like to see it, Tata has yet to want to do that. And I don't know if it's because he wants to make sure he has someone on the bench that can come in, because Bright is so good as a situational piece. Like if something happens with Busquets and Busquets needs to come out, you don't drop a beat really with him, with Bright coming in. If you just need in the 60th, 70th minute, you're having issues with the defense, there are crazy counterattacks, somebody to break the plays in the midfield, boom, you've got the solution right on the bench. Like, I don't know if he's willing to lose that to put Bright in. And at the same time, if you put Bright in, you're also sacrificing some offense too, because you're not going to have Gressel, who gives you more on offense than Bright does. You have Redondo, who gives you more on offense than Bright does. You have Matias Rojas, who gives you more on offense than Bright does. So I think that there are a lot of things that come into play. To me, more Bright is going to continue to be used as the guy that replaces Busquets, or I just need him for this reason, and I put him in the 60th, 70th minute. But he, to me, is a top player, and I can see him going very far soon. Like the same way Gomez is going to Brighton, Like that's confusing. Bright. I can see
just
Bright.
Like they say it in yeah. England.
I can see Bright doing something along those lines in a year or something like that because he's that good. And you and I have talked about it many times, how freaking good of a player Bright is. I just don't know if Tata will do that. But to me, Gomez is definitely someone to stay. But what you've said makes sense. And this team, that's what's great about this team. You and I have said it many times. They've got so many players that they can plug in and play. That will, I mean, yeah, it's just great.
Yeah, agree. I mean, if you said to me, like, what is the best midfield three? I think it's Busquets, Redondo, and Bright. Like, I think so because, you know, I think you don't need – Messi is the offense of four players if he doesn't have to go back at all. Like, that's the truth. And Busquets then can also be that offensive weapon. And knowing that Redondo and Bright are both being able to track back, Busquets can create amazing passes. So I think if you're like, who's the best available? I think it's Bright in the midfield. And I think it's Ian Freya right back. I don't think either of those changes are going to probably happen, but that's just my own personal opinion. We'll have to wait and see. But like I said, I do think what we see Saturday is going to be pretty close to what is the best 11. I think, again, depending on injuries, depending on availability, I think it's going to be what Tata is hoping to have as kind of his, like, when it's all said and done, this is the team. But we'll see. It'll be really fun. It'll be an exciting game. We'll both be there. Super excited about it. So let's give our predictions for how we think the game is going to go. Since you did such an amazing job with your predictions for Atlanta Gate, I'm going to go first.
learning experience.
I'm going to go first. I think Inter Miami win 2-1. I think we're going to get a 2-0 lead. We're going to let them get a goal back. It'll get tight at the end, but I feel like we will have control of the game, and I think we will win the game. So, yeah, 2-1.
2-1? Okay. So before these two games that we tied, 2-2 and 1-1, we beat Philadelphia 3-1. We beat Chicago 4-1. So I'm going to go with somewhere in between 3 and 4. With that, I'm going to go 3, and I'm going to give 1 to Charlotte. So
is
I'm saying
somewhere in between 3 and 4.
It'd be 3.5. So I'm gonna go. You're right. I'm going 3.5. 3.5
for Miami. If we get a half goal, then you deserve to be the Stradamus. If you're right about the half goal, I'll give you full bragging rights for the rest of the time.
The 0.5 is a goal that becomes an offside. So it gets taken away. It's a VAR taken away goal. So I'm going 3.5 Miami, and 1 for Charlotte. So 3 legitimate goals and a VAR reversal for Miami.
Honestly, I hope you're like, that's hilarious if it's true. Like, I'll be really impressed. So we'll see. Yeah. Let us know, as always, your predictions in the comments. And if you get it right, we will shout you out in the next episode. Thank you for watching and listening. We went through a lot today. We caught up on a bunch of stuff. Really excited to see how this season finishes out. It's been a crazy wild ride. We have some great games coming up. We have the playoffs. We have chances at history, chances at more trophies. It'll be super fun. So as always, make sure you're following us on Twitter/X at Messi & Co. Make sure on YouTube, 5 Reasons Sports, notification bell on, comment, like. Give us your thoughts on these episodes. We love doing it. We'll be live posting at the game on Saturday, and we're excited to finish the season off with you. So for this episode of Messi & Co., I'm Ashley, that is Gian, and we will see you next time.
If you love to travel, Capital One has a rewards credit card that's perfect for you. With the Capital One Venture X card, you earn unlimited double miles on everything you buy. Plus, you get premium benefits at a collection of luxury hotels when you book on Capital One Travel. And with Venture X, you get access to over 1,000 airport lounges worldwide. Open up a world of travel possibilities with the Capital One Venture X card. What's in your wallet?
Terms apply. Lounge access is subject to change. See CapitalOne.com for details.